शिष्यते। ओम शांति शांति शांति। इन द गीतावाक्य उपनिषद वी हैव सो फार सीन अप टू वर्स नंबर 11। इन वर्स नंबर 1 द एम्फेसिस वाज ऑन renunciation. ईशावास्यम इदम सर्वम यत्किंच जगत्याम जगत। दिस एंटायर यूनिवर्स द चेंजिंग फिनोमेनन इज एक्चुअली कवर्ड बाय ईशा, इज एक्चुअली फिल्ड एंड कवर्ड बाय ईशा। ईशावास्यम इदम सर्वम द कॉन्शियसनेस दैट पर्वेड्स दिस एंटायर यूनिवर्स। यत्किंच जगत्याम जगत येन त्यक्तेन भुंजिता। So may you enjoy true renunciation, meaning knowing this fact, knowing this truth, that the substratum that pervades this entire universe is that pure consciousness, the Lord. May you enjoy this world out of renunciation, detachment, out of that knowledge. And then tena chaktena bhujita, do not covet another's wealth. Also the meaning of that to be taken as, for whose is the wealth? This wealth is also nothing but the pure consciousness that has come out in different forms. So for whose is the wealth? It's like putting money from left pocket to right pocket. So even if the money is with somebody else, do not covet it because they are also Brahman. So, jena chaktena bhujita magrata katya sutana. This is what verse number one says. If you are not in that level where you can gain the knowledge and bring about renunciation in your life, then you should do a lot of karma. So he says, go and do karma. Purvanneha karmani, it goes on. So basically he's trying to say, if you are not at that level, to gain knowledge, you need to bring about chitta shuddhi and chitta ekagrata, for which you need to do karma yoga. And if you are neither involved in the world doing karma yoga, nor are you into knowledge and renunciation, etc., then you are completely indulging in this world. Asurya namate loka andena tamasa means asu, who means breath, prana. So one who, asurya means one who loves to be breathing and living. So one who is rejoicing in life, that's what it means. One who is indulging in life, not given to karma yoga, nor gaining the knowledge and reaching the ultimate, then what? It's amounting to spiritual suicide. So therefore what you have to do? You have to choose the goal of self. And he talks about the self, the goal of self from verse number 4 to 8. In the language of contradiction, he talks about it and then says you need to establish that as a goal and pursue that. Then in verse 9, 10, 11 that we are seeing, in fact verse 9, 10, 11, the concept what it talks about is repeated almost in the verses 12, 13, 14. They are called as parody. Why Upanishad? Upanishad rarely repeats. Upanishad, if it's repeating, means there is some message that the Upanishad wants to convey. So therefore, the verses 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 is important. In 9, 10, 11, he talks about Vidya, Avidya. In 12, 13, 14, he brings the same words as Sambhuti and Asambhuti. We will discuss that. First, 9, 10, 11, which we have completed, let's see a small synopsis. In verse number 9, he says, Andam tamap pravishanti e avidyam upasate tato bhuya ivate tamoyau vidyayagum rataha. So what is he saying? Those who worship what? Avidya, those who worship avidya, ignorance. Vidya means knowledge, avidya means ignorance. So those who worship avidya, ignorance, enter into blinding darkness. Andam tamap pravishanti. They enter into blinding darkness, those who worship avidya. Then he says, but those who revel in vidya, tato bhuya ivate tamoyau vidyayagum rataha. Those, rata means reveling. Those who revel in vidya. So what happens to them? There's those people who revel in vidya knowledge, they enter as it were into greater darkness than that. Now what is this? Let us understand. Vidya, avidya, knowledge. Avidya means ignorance. Vidya means knowledge. Knowledge means what? Knowledge of the Atma. Avidya means not having knowledge of the Atma, which means the world. So those who are involved in the worldly objects and beings are dwelling in darkness. The enjoyments of the world keeps you more in darkness about the Atma. and you continue remaining here, gaining Punya Papa and coming back again and again to exhaust that Punya Papa and continue in that Tama, that darkness for a long period of time. Now, this we know. But those who revel in Gitya, meaning knowledge, you understand? So, those people who get involved in knowledge, not using the knowledge for self-realization. Like we have said, sir, we have studied Keno Upanishad, we have studied Bhaja Govinda Mahatma Bodha, Bhagavad Gita and all. Please finish this Isavasya Upanishad also fast so that we can go to some other text. So, reveling in this spiritual sadhana, karma, bhakti, jnana. In all these spiritual sadhana, when you revel in them, you try to draw enjoyment out of them rather than using them for self-realization. So such people who revel in knowledge, they are in blinding darkness. They are into greater darkness. What does it mean? The enjoyments of the world keeps you in darkness with reference to the self. The enjoyments in the scriptures, which are far subtle, in the spiritual sadhana, the enjoyment you get is far subtle. That keeps you in darkness even more than this, about the self. You kind of sit and study about the self. You sit and study about the self, you talk about the self, you listen about the self, you do puja to the, you know, vigraha, kirtan, sing songs of the Lord, all that you are doing. But as far as the Atma is concerned, you are still in darkness. But the feeling is that you are something in spiritual field. So therefore, he says, it's even more great darkness. That's what it means. So, vidya, avidya. Beautifully he plays with these two words and explains. Therefore, you should not get involved in vidya also. Unnecessarily getting involved in vidya. You know, see the thing is, when we are chained by the world, it's like you are chained with an iron chain. Chained by an iron chain. Now when you are chained by gold chain, it's like getting involved in spirituality, it's like chained by gold or platinum. You are chained. Your movement is arrested. You are still bound to the world. But you think, in that itself, you think, I am bound by platinum. You are only bound by gold or iron, silver. How does it matter? You are bound. Therefore, he says, andam tamap pravishanti e avidya mupasate tato bhuya ivate tamoyavu vidyayagum rataha. So, you should not get involved in vidya also. Then he says, this is what the message in verse number 9. And in verse number 10, he says, the wise have declared that the result of vidya and avidya are distinct and different. Thus have we heard from those who have expounded that to us. Meaning, Anya Deva Tat Viditatato Aviditatati is studied in the Keno Upanishad. Same thing is Anya Deva Hur Vidyaya, Anyada Hura Vidyaya. So, Avidya and Vidya both have Anya results. You know, in Tirukural, same concept Tirukural says, Arul illarka augulagam illai, porul illarka ibulagam illai. Which means what? For people who do not have spiritual grace, that world is not for them. Material wealth is not there for them, this world is not. So, the material world has a different benefit. Spiritual world has a different benefit. That's what it means. Spiritual world, loka means shastras. Loka means karma yoga, bhakti yoga, those lokas. Loka means those experiences of karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, which he calls as the effect of vidya is different. What is that? Karma will give you chitta shuddhi. Upasana will be giving you chitta ekagrata. Jnanam will give you jnana nishta. You will get established in the Atma Jnanam and the samsara will be removed, you realize the self. This is the benefit of vidya. What is the benefit of material world that you know? It will give you, for transactional purpose, it is useful. So, there is some benefit you get in the worldly. So he says, the wise have declared the result of vidya and avidya are distinct and different. That have you heard from those who have expounded to us. From the Shastra, we have come to know this. So what they are trying to say is, if I am giving you sandalwood, don't put it in the, you know, those days they used to have this stoves where they use wood as the fuel. So, I am giving you sandalwood and you are putting in your kitchen, in your stove, to use it as a wood to, you know, cook. Whereas sandalwood is much more worthy. But you are wasting it. It's exactly what people are doing, getting involved in spiritual field also. The one which can help them to go beyond, they are not utilizing it correctly. So the results are different. Use them appropriately. That's the word from our great masters. Then, verse number 11. Says, Vidyamcha Avidyamcha Yastad Vedo Vayagun Saha Avidyam Rityumti Tva Vidyam Ritam Ashnute Amritam Ashnute Vidya Amritam Ashnute. Now, what he says is, Vidyamcha Avidyamcha. Through Vidya and Avidya. He who knows these two, who has understood the benefits of Vidya, the benefits of Avidya, and accordingly he uses them. What is that? I know the benefits of Avidya. What is that? Avidya means the world, material stuff. For example, this laptop through which I am talking. Okay. I know the benefit. What is the benefit of this laptop? I can send mails, receive mails. I can store few files. I can conduct these kind of classes, etc., etc. So, I use them for that purpose without getting involved. So, I use this laptop also for my goal, which is spiritual goal. This is how I should use. I use that. Then, Vidya. Vidya also I should use that way. So, basically what it means is, in the world, I do act, performing action in the spirit of karma yoga, that is avidya. So when I perform karma yoga in this world, what happens to me? He says, mrityum tirtva. Avidya, mrityum tirtva. Mrityu means death. Mrityum tirtva means going beyond death. Now going beyond death here doesn't mean self-realization. What it means here, what it means is, one who goes beyond relative death. What is a relative death? When some of us die, maximum we are remembered up to our grandchildren. Maybe great grandchildren, but bas. Uske baat nahi. But also, in what way they remember, we don't. But a person like Mahatma Gandhiji, Nelson Mandelaji, when all these kind of people have lived their life, sacrificing their life for this world, we are remembered even today. Sai Bhagat Singh. We remember him even today. After so many years of his death and independence, still remember him. And he will be continued to remember for a long time. You understand? So this is called relative immortality. So he says, when a person functions in this world with unselfishness and selflessness, where he is doing karma. Karma is referred to as avidya. But karma is done as karma yoga. When a person performs karma yoga, what happens is, he becomes immortal in this world. Mrityum tirtva. Then, he says, vidya amrutam ashnute. Through vidya, if you use vidya properly, right, you gain the knowledge, you reflect on them, you establish yourself in this knowledge, you destroy the ego. You completely remove the conditioning that you are somebody who is born, whose name is Lakshmi Narayan. This nonsense conditioning has been continuing for a long time as if it is sense. And the sensible words given in the scriptures by the great masters have all been falling on the deaf ears as though they are nonsense. Now the delusion should go and you should approach the Vidya properly, and through that Vidya you question what is appearing here from head to toe in one particular form as if it is existing, when it is scrutinized with the lens of the Shastra. I understand that it is passing, fleeting phenomenon. Underneath the passing, fleeting phenomenon, there is a what? Permanent factor, which is called Atma. So what happens? I slowly, slowly go and get established in that permanent aspect. So I'm using Vidya properly. So when I do that, I remove this false notion called ego. The false notion, which has been superimposed upon me for a long time by the world and by myself. Therefore, I am assuming this individuality as real and continuing. So that superimposed notion is removed by the Shastra through the Vidya. Then what happens? Vidya will give you what? Amritam Ashnute. Will give you what? Amrita. Go beyond death. Which means self-realization. Okay. This is verse number 9, 10, 11. This is how Swamiji explains. Then we will come to how Shankara explains. I think I touched upon it. But I will complete 12, 13, 14 and then I will talk about how Shankaracharya ji explains. Same thing only. The message finally is same. But puts it in a little differently. I will explain that. But once you understand this concept, no problem. If you get involved in the world, if you get involved in the Shastra, both are remaining in darkness. If you use the world properly, you will become immortal here and you will also be qualifying yourself to go to Jnanam, and using Jnanam properly, you will attain self-realization. Choice is yours. This is the gist in 9, 10, 11. Now 12, 13, 14, almost the same repetition. 12, 13, 14.
अंधं तमः प्रविशन्ति ये तं भूति भुपासते सदो भूय इव ते तमो य उसंभूत्यागोरताः.
Okay. Now, here he says, those who worship asambhuti, matter, enter into blinding darkness. Those who revel in Sambhuti, origin, enter as it were into greater darkness than that. Now what has happened? If you go to verse number 9 in your book, please turn to verse number 9. He said, those who worship avidya, ignorance, enter into blinding darkness. Those who revel in vidya enter into greater darkness. This is what he said in verse number 9. Now he said, those who worship asambhuti, matter, enter into blinding darkness. Those who revel in Sambhuti, origin, enter as it were into greater darkness than that. Okay. So what has happened? The word avidya is replaced with asambhuti. The word vidya is replaced with word sambhuti. Sambhuti, Swamiji takes it as origin, which means Atma, the self. Asambhuti means which is not the origin, which means that which is the effect. What is the effect? The matter, the material world. So therefore asambhuti is taken by Swamiji as matter. So those who worship asambhuti, matter, enter into blinding darkness. But those who revel in sambhuti, origin, enter as it were into greater darkness than that. That's all. Only the words are different, the meaning is same. If you are involved in the world, blinding darkness. You are involved in the spiritual world, it is even more blinding darkness, greater darkness. The meaning. Next.
Anya devahusam bhavar, anya dahurasam bhavar, iti śuśrubadhīrāyāṁ yenastadvicacakṣire.
So now, if you read this verse, what does it say? Yes? The wise have declared that the result of sambhava, origin. Sambhuti, here he is calling it as sambhava, which means also origin. And asambhava, what he called as asambhuti in the previous verse, he is calling it asambhava here, which means the same, which is matter, are distinct and different. The result of sambhava, origin, if you, origin means self. If you follow the self, the result is different. If you follow the world, matter, the result is different. The wise have declared that the result of sambhava origin and asambhava matter are distinct and different. Thus have we heard from those who have expounded that to us. So every time when he says, thus have we heard from our great masters, what he means to say is, it is actually showing us the great quality of humility of the speaker. He could easily say, I am saying it. But he says, thus have we heard from our great master. So this is a knowledge, which is a time-tested knowledge, which is passed on from time immemorial, from in the Guru-Sishya Parampara, and we have got it this way. So they have explained to us the result of sambhava or sambhuti is what following the self is different, and the result of following asambhuti, asambhava is different. That's what we heard. Same thing previously he said, vidya, avidya. So, now verse number 14.
Sambhutim cha vinasham cha yastad vedo bhayagunsaha vinashena mrityum tirtva sambhutya mritam ashnute.
So, sambhuti and vinasham, two words he uses here. This is very interesting. Earlier he was using sambhuti, asambhuti, sambhava, asambhava. Here he is using sambhuti and vinasha. Now, vinasha means what? That which is perishable, perishes, destroys, gets destroyed. Sambhuti, origin. Doesn't get destroyed. But what came into existence? Origin is not what came into existence. From which everything originates. That is sambhutin. That is not what originates. That is the origin. So origin doesn't perish. But something that is originated, which is the matter. Which is the asambhutin. Which is asambhava. That asambhava is what he calls as vinasham here. So, vinasha means asambhava here, asambhuti. You should write it like that. So, sambhutim cha vinasham cha estadvedo vayagunsaha vinashena mrityum titva sambhutya amurtamashnute. The same thing here. Like vidya and avidya in the previous combination, here he is using sambhuti and vinasha. So, those who, you know, this vināśena mṛtyum tīrtvā. Those who follow vināśena. Vināśena means what? Asambhuti. Asambhuti means what? Matter. So those who follow matter, mṛtyum tīrtvā, which means what? Again in this world, they do it as yoga, karma yoga. What will they get? They'll get relative immortal. They'll be famous for a long period of time. Mṛtyum tīrtvā. And then, sambhuti means those who follow the origin, the Brahman, Ishvara, the Lord, not Ishvara, Brahman. Ishvara is next step, Brahman or pure consciousness, or Atma. Such people, he says, goes and attains that Atma Tattvam becomes Amrutam. So, what he said in verse 9, 10, 11 and 12, 13, 14 is saying, just uses different words. Upanishads generally don't repeat. The fact that they are repeating it, it's important. Again and again and again. They are very simple. They're just trying to say this. You've got a human body. Not easy to get a human body. After so much of, punya, you've got this human body. Unnecessarily getting involved in this world, you get attached, and then they're going on dwelling in this world, going through agitation, joy and all that, and then you leave this body, go and get another body, again continue the same thing, nonsense going on. And some people who get fed up here, they want to commit suicide. So, you know, if you commit suicide, everything will be ended. See, now this is something that we, at least from the spiritual background, we should understand. You see, what I experience is according to my values. If I don't have that, I don't deserve, I will not experience. If I am sitting in Delhi, I am experiencing that pollution and the other things that is there, and the good things also. Rana is not having only bad things there. There are good things also there. So, the good and the bad of Delhi, I am experiencing because I have vasanas. My subconscious vasanas are demanding them. That's why they are there. But let us understand that. If it is not there, it won't be there. So when my subconscious changes, my conscious world also changes. The way I look changes. Isn't it? Now, inside I have certain, let's say, I'm a cinema star, you know, movie star, I have those kind of vasanas. Then as I'm getting old, obviously the white hair is coming. What will I do? I'll say, I'm in movie field, so what do I have to do? I have to color and all that. And slowly, side by side, I am also attending Vedanta class. Slowly, I go beyond all this, and I stop movie giri and all that, or, you know, not much. So then I don't care. Then I say, I stop coloring hair. The very physical appearance change. Selection of clothes change. Before a snake ladder and the tone here and there, all that. Now, it will not be there, it will be different. The clothes will change, the appearance will change, the environment will change, the people will change. In fact, in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we studied this. He says, the moment you are determined to follow the spiritual faith, the temptations will stop. But the rasa will linger, you have to be careful. The rasa will go only upon self-realization. So, what he is trying to say, in other words, you, the Thursday morning class members, you know, I'm talking about those who are extremely sincere. Everybody is sincere, but extremely sincere. Which means what? Come what may, Thursday morning, I will study. And all other things will be my second priority. You understand? On that particular day, at least. And every day, 1 hour study I will do. Such people, on Thursday morning, some birthday party or some get together is coming, let's say. We'll say, no, sorry. Or I'll come and join for lunch, it's too late. Please excuse me. Thursday morning, this is my priority. You understand? So what will happen? Slowly, they know, there's no point calling these people on Thursday morning. Leave them alone. They won't mistake you. They won't misunderstand. But the temptations will stop. That particular world will not be there in your world. You will not be invited. Not because they hate you. They know. Your priorities are different. So the world will change when your inside is changed. The outside is because of the inside. Please understand this. So now, you are not able to put up with the struggle in the outside. So what do? I want to do Atmahatya. Suicide karma suicide. Passive will be over. You suicide, what are you suiciding? Anybody? When you commit suicide, what are you destroying?
Just your body.
Now sadhana is in full form today. Right? You are only destroying the physical body. Under same hota hai. So, next janma, you will get the same thing. Therefore, what Vedanta says is, don't try to cover up your problems, face them. You get it? Don't try to cover up your problems. Face them. Deal with them. You know, in Tamil, I don't know Hindi what they say. In Tamil, there is something like this. They say, Puna, Kanna Mudi Kichna, means when the cat closes the eyes, it thinks the world is not there. No. World is there. You close your eyes. You open the eyes, world will be there. And world is continuously evolving. You know. So if you, out of stupidity, commit suicide, you are only destroying the grass. The subtle is same. You will have to face it. Therefore, face it now. Understand that you need to strengthen your insight. And when you understand this, you will never ever think of suicide. Never. Not only suicide. Suicide is an extreme step. Never ever you will try to cover up any problem. Yeah, what is the problem? Let me face it. Come on, let's go. But, you know, generally everybody is scared. Let us do one biopsy. The doctor just says biopsy. Immediately, you know, all of us get panicked. Or panic will start. Biopsy. Oh my God. I think we should better consult another doctor. This fellow probably didn't study properly. Did he go to college at all properly or not? You know, we'll get all these kind of doubts out of our fear. And we think, you know, by avoiding, it will become all right by itself. The corona is there now. By avoiding it, it will become all right by itself. Kuchina yoga. We could deal with it. So therefore, the understanding is what? Inside for change. When you change the inside, the outside will change. So all these are there because somewhere there is requirement. So don't run. Where will you run? Wherever you run, you will have somebody like that. You know, the fellows who are afraid of dogs, wherever they go, if there is a pet dog in somebody's house, there may be some 40 people attending that party. But this fellow who is afraid of that dog, the dog also smells that fellow. He goes on bothering that fellow. Wherever he goes. So you have to deal with your fear inside. To understand what the problem is and deal with it from inside. This is something we need to understand. So, why did I say that in this context here? Suicide. Having given this body, we are all committing suicide. From that word suicide, I went to that and came back. Little side step to convey something and come back now. What is that? We are wasting our time here. Instead of cleaning the inside, trying to cover up things, make up with few other entertainments and wealth. While entertainments is needed to some extent to keep us sane, you know. But fully indulging in them, fully covering up with wealth and covering up your problems and this and that, you think, no, you have to face it. Understand the self. Use this body. It is very difficult to get this human body. How many births we have gone through as different species. Now you are born as a human being. Use it and evolve. This is the concept. Unnecessarily don't waste it. In this world, be unselfish and selfless. Cleanse yourself. Gain the Shastric knowledge and realize it. This is the message. Now, Adi Shankara, what does he say about this? Very interesting. In 9, 10, 11, the words used were Vidya and Avidya. Vidya means what? Knowledge. Avidya means ignorance. Now, he takes the meaning of the word Vidya as Upasana. Right? The Upasana means Saguna Ishwara Dhyanam. The Lord or the pure consciousness is actually Nirguna. Without attributes, without form, formless, without attributes, without gunas. But formless, Nirguna, without attribute, Ishwara, Brahman, he cannot conceive. Find it very difficult. So what? we will need a form. And therefore, we have our own Ishta Devata. Somebody worships Lord Rama, somebody worships Hanumanji, somebody worships Lord Ganesha, somebody worships Jesus Christ, etc. etc. Everybody conceives of form. And we do dhyanam, worship the form. Sa guna Ishwara dhyanam. Sa guna Ishwara dhyanam. Manasa vyapara. Mentally when I do that, dhyanam towards Saguna Ishwara, Lord with attributes called Upasana. And it's called Vidya. It's a technical term. There is something called as Sri Vidya Upasana. Learning how to do those Upasanas and you do those Upasanas. So there are people who are called as worshippers of Avidya. Avidya means what? Karma. Technical term. For that is karma. Karma means the physical rituals, actions and all that where you use organs of action. The body is used. You understand? You do archana with a flower and all that, teetam and all that. That is karma. Agnihotra, etc. And then upasana. So, vidya means upasana. Avidya means karma. Yes. And if you practice karma as an end in itself, karma can give you, karma means you follow all the rituals, being good goody. You know, I follow the Vedas to the T. These are the rituals prescribed for the Grahastha. I am following them regularly. Morning I'll do Sandhya Vandanam, sun salutation. Evening I'll do sun salutation. I will do all those rituals meticulously. Now, those who follow karma meticulously, what will they get? They will get Pitruloka, maximum swarga, promotion. When will you get? After death in this body. Right? What happens when you go to Pitruloka and then swargaloka? You will enjoy a better world. If, you know, the coffee that you enjoy in Starbucks is giving you X amount of joy, the coffee in Sarg will be X to the power of 10. 10 times joy you enjoy. One time joy itself you get involved, you are not coming out of Starbucks. 10 times joy if you enjoy what lesson? So he says that is greater darkness. And then, much more greater darkness. But, when it comes to Vidya, Upasana. Vidya means Upasana, I told you. Saguna Ishwara Dhyanam. Where mentally you are doing, not just physically, but mental Dhyanam. Saguna Ishwara Dhyanam. Now when you are doing Saguna Ishwara Dhyanam, what happens? The benefit is much more. Here you only went up to Swarga. Here you can go up to Brahmaloka. Now, the enjoyment there, is x to the power of 2500. Compare 2500, I just said. Tomorrow I may say 10,500. I don't know what I will say. So, which means what? Compared to x to the power of 10, x to the power of 2500 is something else. But that is also relative. So, if you do upasana, not as spiritual sadhana, if you merely do upasana, especially Saguna Ishwara Dhyanam with Sakama Bhakti. Sakama Bhakti means with some worldly benefit, some desire. I want this, I want that. So you are doing, but some Sakama Bhakti is there. Something I want. You are doing karma also with Sakama Bhakti and you are doing upasana also with Sakama. Sakama means with desire. I want to fulfill this. I am doing this karma for what? I am told if I do this ritual, I will get wealth. If I do that ritual, I will get power. If I do that ritual, I will get this. Putra Bhagya, children, etc. etc. If I do this upasana, I will get that benefit. If I do that upasana, I will get that benefit. So, I am doing that, but manasa vyaparam. It is, mind is more subtler than the body. So the benefit you get also is much more. But in terms of spirituality, both are darkness. That's the point. Compared to the light of the Atma, these two are madness. This is all involvement. Somebody is promised chief ministership for 5 years. Other person is promised chief ministership for 20 years. And the other person is what? Permanent chief minister. So like that, you know. Permanent chief minister is what you should seek. Why you want 5 years and 20 years? Therefore, yes, those who do it with sakama bhakti, karma, go up to swarga. Those who do upasana with sakama bhakti, go up to brahmalok. But after enjoying all this, where will they return? Again, they'll come back according to their vasana. Whatever is their next janma, that body they will come to. No problem. So different upasanas have different benefits in that also. See, there are different upasanas. Each upasana has different benefits. You know, that we will talk about in 12, 13, 14. So in 9, 10, 11, the comparison is what? Between vidya, avidya, which is upasana and karma. Or karma and upasana. Avidya means karma, vidya means upasana. So the comparison is between karma and upasana. So if you get involved in karma, you will be in darkness. If you get involved in upasana, you will be in blinding darkness. And the result of karma and upasana are different. What I just explained. Now, in verse number 11, he said, if you do them together, samuchaya. In verse number 11, he says, those who know the different results, they do it together. They do it together means what? They will do karmaya as karma yoga, upasana as upasana yoga with nishkama bhakti. Nishkama bhakti, when we say, remember, no desires. Nishkama means without desires. But without desire, when you say, the person is not a jnani, he is not realized self, so that he doesn't have any desire. He has desire. But what desire? What desire does he have? He has only one desire. What is that desire?
To reach the consciousness or to realize the self.
Nothing else. So that desire to reach the self is not considered as desire, it's not worldly. So now, when a person with nishkama bhakti does karma, every day he is doing agnihotra and this and that, what is the benefit he will get? Sadhana chatushtaya sampanna. What are the fourfold qualifications of a student to gain the knowledge? Viveka. Nitya, anitya, viveka, vicharam. What is permanent, what is impermanent? His intellect is able to clearly decipher. You'll get that clarity. Vairagya, dispassion, detachment. Viveka, vairagya. And you'll get mumukshatvam, burning desire to liberate. You want to get back to that only. All this, I don't care. I don't care means not that you become indifferent. That's my second priority. And then, this is what you'll get by karma. Then when he does upasana, mental, you know, upasana to do mental, you should have been physically doing sadhana, mind should have become relatively quiet. So, the quietitude of mind will promote much more quietitude of mind. So, in the sadhana chatushraya, means four. Then I mentioned only three. Viveka, vairagya and mukshatva. There is one more. What is that? Samadhi shatka sampati. Which means what? Sixfold qualifications. What are they? Shama, dama, uparama, itiksha, shraddha and samadhana. All this, which means mind will become quiet, senses will become quiet, he will mind his own business, follow swadharma, you know, have tremendous faith in the shastras and endure what is difficult and pursue all these mental abilities he will get. So basically what it means is chitta shuddhi and chitta ekagrata, chitta vishalatam he gets. One who does karma yoga and Upasana as yoga. Upasana yoga together, he gets what? Chitta Shuddhi, Chitta Vishalata, Chitta Ekagrata. Then he will attain Jnana Yogyata. He will gain the ability to gain the knowledge. Not easy to sit in Upanishad class for 1 hour, 15 minutes. You understand? Not at all easy. So, and mostly all of you here, whoever is here, I know, somehow or the other involved in something or the other. Some work you have. Still, you are controlling yourself from all those temptations and sitting and studying in some level of internal maturity is there. Otherwise, not possible. So that's what he says. The chitta shuddhi, chitta vishalatam, chitta ekagrata. You will get and you will become jnana yogyata to gain the knowledge. And with that focus, when you gain the knowledge, then you do reflection. After shravana, you do manana. With that manana, what will happen? You retain the knowledge. And then you do vidhyasana. Again and again, you reflect on it and bring it back in your life and compare it and contrast it in your day-to-day experiences. Then you are basically meditating upon it. Then what happens? You will have jnana nishta. Jnana nishta means you get established in the jnanam. You will realize the self. So, karma and upasana, when you do it as samuchaya, together, do it as yoga, with nishkama, then you are utilizing them for fire. The sandalwood is not put in the stove. It is used for something higher. This is what Adi Shankara says, verse number 9, 10, 11 says. Now 12, 13, 14. Now this 12, 13, 14 is very, very interesting. Now temporarily you don't look into Swamiji's book. Okay. You just read the Sanskrit. He says, Andam Tamap Pravishanti E Sambhuti Mupasate. E Sambhuti Mupasate means Asambhuti. A sa becomes a asambhuti. So asambhuti upasate. Andam tama pravishanti a asambhuti upasate. Tato yabu tato bhuya ivate tamo yavu sambhutya bhum tataha. So sambhuti and asambhuti. What Adi Shankara calls is these two are different upasanas. In 9th and 11th, the comparison was between karma and upasana. Now, when a person becomes more subtle, he loses interest in gross. You know, he's not sitting and doing puja like this. Mentally, he's sitting and doing. He's not involving his gross body. So, there are many upasanas. Jagrata upasana, avyakrata upasana, omkara upasana, ahamgraha upasana, etc. There are so many upasanas. Srividya Upasana, like that. So, in this, he is talking about two upasanas. They are called as Sambhuti Upasana, Asambhuti Upasana. Here, Adi Shankara gives an entirely different meaning. Very interesting. Sambhutim. Swamiji took it as origin. Asambhuti. Swamiji took it as that which is not the origin, which means that which originated. Here Adi Shankara gives an entirely different meaning. What is that? Sambhutim, asambhutim. Sambhuti means, according to Adi Shankara, which came into origination, which originated. Right? Asambhuti means that which did not originate, which remains in seed form. So asambhuti, according to Adi Shankara, is that which remains in seed form. What is that? Ishvara. And from Ishvara, what comes? Hiranya Garbha. Now, I don't know whether you remember all these things we discussed before, but for your understanding, I talk about it once again. What Vedanta says is, there is only Brahman. There is nothing else other than Brahman. And that Brahman is Nirguna, without attributes. It's infinite. And it is sarvajna sarvavit, which is all knowing. So, in that Brahman, which is Nirguna, there is Shakti. When you talk about Brahman, Nirguna, when you talk about the pure consciousness as Nirguna, you call it as Brahman. But when you talk about Brahman with that Shakti and Brahman identifying with that Shakti to create, that's called Ishvara. That's the next step. First is Brahman, then Brahman plus Shakti called Maya Shakti, where Brahman identifying with Maya Shakti is called Ishvara. Brahman identifying with Maya Shakti within is called Ishvara. And from that Shakti, the world comes out. First, when the world comes out, how it comes, it doesn't come in grass form. It comes in subtle form. Now this remote control I'm using here to control this fan in this room. This remote, before it came into this grass existence, it came in what? Subtle mind they conceived it. In the mind they conceived, then it came out in the grass form. Similarly, from the seed form, seed, Ishvara, who comes? Hiranyagarbha comes. So Hiranyagarbha is the one who is originated, the subtle, subtle world. So Hiranyagarbha is called as what? Sambhuti. And Ishvara is called what? The seed. It's called what? Asambhuti. Who did not come into origin. Okay? So Sambhuti Upasana means Hiranyagarbha Upasana. Asambhuti Upasana means Ishvara Upasana or Prakriti Upasana or Avyakrita Upasana. There is Hiranyagarbha Upasana means Vyakrita Upasana which came into existence. Sambhuti Upasana. All these are different words. So basically one is Hiranyagarbha who has come out. Hiranyagarbha means subtle world. From Hiranyagarbha who comes? Virat Purusha, the grass world. Okay. So this is how the whole world has evolved. Brahman, Ishvara, Hiranyagarbha, Virat Purusha. Okay. So now, those who do Sambhuti Upasana, mentally they are doing Upasana, Sambhuti Upasana, they see the entire manifested world as something that has come from Ishvara, the form. That's how they do Upasana. Those who do Ishvara Upasana, Prakriti Upasana or Asambhuti Upasana, they see the whole thing as seed. That's subtle. That's all. Now, the fact that they are mentally doing meditation, conceiving this as Hiranyagarbha and conceiving this as Ishvara, they get some kind of benefits. So he says, those benefits are also compared to the benefit of centralization is darkness. So therefore, Sambhuti, Asambhuti are in darkness. This is verse number 12. Next, verse number 13. He uses the word Sambhava, Asambhava. Anya Deva hu Sambhava, Anya Deva pura Sambhava. Iti Shushruma Dhiranam, Enastad Vija Sakshire. So the results of Sambhuti Upasana and Asambhuti Upasana, what he calls the Sambhava and Asambhava, are different. How are they different? What difference they get? What kind of benefits they get? They say, Hiranyagarbha Upasana. To do Hiranyagarbha Upasana, the benefits are Ashtama Siddhi. Anima, Garima, Lahima, meaning all kinds of powers, Ashtama Siddhi. Okay. But Ashtama Siddhi is also nothing compared to self-realization. In Swami Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's life, there was a guy who learned how to walk on water. And he was showing all these skills to people and then people were all excited. So when he met Swami Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, he asked him only one question. How long did it take for you to master this? That 25 years. 25 saal he put in effort. To do what? Walk on water. What happened with that? He earned some money. People got excited and gave him money. That's all. What's the use? Is there any use? Nothing. So he said, I just give 25 paisa to cross this river. It took you 25 years. What you should finish in 25 paisa? You have wasted 25 years. That's what it means. So like that, Hiranyagarbha Upasana, when you do with desire. Remember what we studied before. Sakamabhat. With the desire, when you do Hiranyagarbha Upasana, what happens? What will it give you? Give you all kinds of powers. Some people, you know, even in television I saw once, there was a guy who could just stare at a spoon. By staring, he can bend the spoon. And you will think, my God, what is going on here? But he can do that. He's got some power. He is able to, you know, it's like sunlight is there. And you put a lens. The sunlight through the lens, when it goes on a paper, it can burn it. So they know all these things. They have mastered all these powers. The mind has become so subtle, they can gain these powers. But that has nothing to do with spiritual. It still does. In fact, with these powers, what happens? You will have more following. Oh my God, what a powerful person can do this. He will be called in this thing, in that thing, and you will go and demonstrate here. There they will give you one special accommodation, one first class flight ticket and this and that. You get involved. Darkness. Now, when you come to Asambhuti Upasana, those who worship Prakriti Upasana, what happens to them? Because Prakriti Layam is the benefit. When they do it with desire, what is the benefit they get? Prakriti Layam. What is Prakriti Layam? Yeah, what our Shastras say is human mind has, our mind has different dimensions. This human mind is at a particular dimension. When you go beyond that, there are different dimensions of mind, which is for the Brahma Loka, etc. So, what is 1 year for us is one day in Swarga. Okay. What is 1 year for us is one day in Swarga. So each month is 2 hours for them. And in Swarga Lok, morning 4 to 5, Devalokam, morning 4 to 6, 2 hours, is our December 15th to January 15th. It's called Margashish. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter, he says, Masana Margashishoham. The 4 to 6 Brahma Muhurta of Devaloka is Margashish month. This is a special month. This is a speciality about it, nothing more. So that, when you go further to Brahmaji, one day of Brahma, one night of Brahma, the calculation is unbelievable. Few billions of years. Like that, he lives 100 days. Brahmaji also has time span. He lives 100 years. So first Brahmaji comes, Hiranyagarbha. And then Brahmaji is a Srishtikarta. He creates everything. He lives 100 years. You know. Then Brahmaji also gone. Goes into unmanifestation. Another 100 years unmanifestation. Then again new Brahma comes 100 years. So that when you do Prakriti Upasana, after death, this entire lifespan of Brahmaji, you will not be born. But when that Brahmaji life finishes and when new Brahmaji comes, you will be born. What is the use? You are delaying it so late. Okay? In short, it's like, you know, my son, during this pandemic, in between, he broke his hand. It is not hand, his finger, actually. He broke his finger. And he could not use pen or pencil or do anything with his right hand for almost 1.5 months, 6 weeks. So he got excuse from his teachers. Doesn't have to write this UT or assignment or this or that. What does it mean? That excuse means what? You don't have to do for those 6 weeks, but you have to do once you become all right. Isn't it? Once you become all right, you have to do those pending things also. That's what it means. So So would you, once you know this, would you want to aspire for that? Arey Baba, I don't want to broke anything. I don't want to get any of my fingers or anything broken. I will continue doing it every day. This is a problem. It's unnecessary postponement. So therefore, he says that is the other benefit. So sambhava, asambhava, which means sambhuti, asambhuti. Sambhuti means Hiranyagarbha Upasana. Asambhuti means Ishwara Upasana. With Hiranyagarbha Upasana, you get Ashtama Siddhi. With Asambhuti Upasana, you get what? Prakriti Layam. If you do it with desire for these kind of powers and all. So Adi Shankara says, no, you should do it combined. Now interesting, come to verse number 14. Verse number 14, if you see in the book, it starts as what? Sambhutim cha vinasham cha. Now, Adi Shankara, how did he interpret? He interprets Sambhuti as what? That which originated. Swamiji interpreted Sambhuti as that which is the origin. Therefore, no problem there. But Adi Shankara interprets Sambhuti as what? That which originated Hiranyagarbha. Correct. And Hiranyagarbha is the one who's come into origin. Therefore, he will go into unmanifestation, which means Vinasham is there for him. So, in this verse, if you see, Sambhutim cha Vinasham cha, he's using two, Sambhuti and Vinasha. Now, we are seeing Sambhuti as having Vinasha. That means Sambhuti is Vinasha. Then why is he using Sambhuti Vinasha when they are both same? Therefore, Adi Shankara says, no. There's no mistake here. Sambhuti here should be read as what? Asambhuti. How? See the previous verse. How is the previous verse ending? Jacha chakshire e. Right? A. And here, sa. So as per some sandhi rules, the A and sa here, it should be a in between. It becomes asambhuti. So when you read verse number 14, you should read it as asambhutim cha vinasham cha, says Adi Shankara. So now no problem. So if the first word is asambhuti, asambhuti is what? That which did not originate. That which did not originate will not perish also. And that which originated will only perish. So asambhuti is Ishwara Upasana. Vinasham is Hiranyagarbha Upasana. That's all. Right? Asambhutim cha vinasham cha. Asambhuti is Ishwara Upasana. Vinasham is Hiranyagarbha Upasana. So now those who understood these things, they will not do these things for any worldly benefit. They will do these things together, samuchaya, for spiritual benefit. Now, once it comes to spiritual benefit, the benefit is same as before. What is that? Chitta shuddhi, chitta vishalatvam, chitta ekagrata. That's the benefit. Whether it is upasana or karma. So there, they did karma and upasana together. Here he is talking about those who do two upasanas together. Basically what it means is, initially a person is too action oriented. So there will be lot of karma and little upasana. Then slowly, slowly what happens? Karma will reduce, upasana will come. This is what I was telling you. A long time, I don't know, I said this in this class or some other class. I started talking on all these things since 1992 to 95 I studied, and then ever since I've been talking on all these things, connecting classes. So now 26th year, slowly, slowly, mind is saying, "Hey Baba, I want to sit in one place, but all, whoever is interested comes to them only, we talk. Otherwise, no need to talk also." So slowly, slowly, I was trying to discourage starting new classes, tell them to come to other classes. They are really interested, let them come, otherwise, leave, you know, why unnecessarily trouble them? Like Gita says, only those who ask give. And also, mind now becomes more, relatively wants to sit down and do sadhana. I've been having this thought that for a long time, you know, sit in one place, not move around. You know, Thursday morning I go to Mataji's house, in the evening I go to somebody else's house. And then I go to USX farms and said, hey, yeah, there, Gurugram, and then suddenly somebody calls me to some country, go there, yeah, enough is enough, you know, that sort of a thing. Not because you fed up. Mind becomes more settled. You want to sit down and do sadhana. Now, this is what I was telling, be careful about your thoughts. It will manifest. Now, I never expected that it will manifest this way. But it is a manifested this way now. Last 1.5 years, I'm sitting in one place, conducting class. Aram say I'm sitting. If I have to come to class to Mamtaji's house, which is at 11 o'clock, I leave my house by 9:15 in Faridabad. You understand? So, I start getting ready by 9 o'clock and then leave and then come there at 10:30, 10:45, conduct the class, then go back, then come back, go back. So much, you know. So now, I am sitting and doing this in one place. Like that, initially, you will be more karma-oriented to this, that. Then slowly, slowly, you say, well, enough is enough. I want to mentally do things, sit and do. You become more subtle. Happen to everybody. Has to happen. So then he will get into more and more of upasana. So those upasanas also, initially, a person who is not matured, he will do how? With sagama. With this upasana, I want this benefit, with that I want that benefit, I want this. Enough is enough, you keep all the benefits. I want only moksha, nothing else. You know, then you are doing it samuchaya as yoga. When you do it samuchaya as yoga, what happens is, your mind becomes even more subtle. Even more pure. Much more pure and much more subtle. You know, and then it becomes more single-pointed. You thereafter want to gain the knowledge and realize the self. So, it will give you chitta shuddhi, chitta vishalata, and chitta ekagrata. All samuchya gives you that. Because you are doing it as yoga. Don't do it as yoga, it gives different results, like we said before. But those results, Shastra wants to criticize. By criticizing what it wants to praise self-realization. Don't unnecessarily get stuck there. So all these powers, you become worse, even worse. Therefore, you should not get involved in any of them. As, say, my goal is this, let me go towards that. This is how beautifully he presents it. So, end of the day, the message is simple. Karma, what you do with your body and your organs of speech and then your mind, all this kayika, vachika, manasa, all this you combine and do it for self-realization. How understanding that what the world can offer is only something that is perishable. It's not going to give me that eternal satisfaction and happiness that I'm looking for. That happiness or eternal happiness that I'm looking for, I can get only upon self-realization. Therefore, in this world, I have certain duties I have to do. As per my role, as a mother, I have a duty. Father, I have a duty. Husband, I have a duty. Wife, I have a duty. Son, I have a duty. Daughter, I have a duty. Citizen, I have a duty. According to that, I continue doing them, but I do them as karma yoga. Similarly, when I sit and do puja and all that, mind, I do that also for my chitta shuddhi and chitta ekagrata, but nothing else. And for what purpose? To gain the knowledge and realize the self. I am not interested in anything else because only upon realizing the self, I will get that eternal satisfaction that I look for. Nothing else matters. So this is the gist that emphasized from verse number 9 to 4. Let's conclude the class.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyerva Bujyatmanava Prakate Svabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmahi Narayana Yeti Samarpayami.